La 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 la. Big Ben Jedi. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but I think I got a loud voice. You know. La 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 la. Cause like everyone's always telling me to just turn it down a bit. Right.
Next time someone tries to tell me to shut the fuck up,
but I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone, blood.
I'ma kill someone. I'ma kill someone, blood.
I'm a loud motherfucker and I don't give a fuck. If you roll with me, then you know what's up. If you don't wanna roll with it, then I'll bell my phone, homeboy, we can call it quits. I'm loud, I'm proud of it. You're a prick, but you don't see me shouting it. I don't lie silent. You can tell me to be quiet, but you're starting a riot. You're starting a beef, cause I find it offensive. Yeah, I find it offensive. Big voice on the mic, big voice in my life. No need to mention it. I'm loud cause I love my lungs and them man, them still wanna bump their gums. I don't give a fuck why they're bringing it up, now I'm fucking them up like.
Someone tries to tell me to shut the fuck up,
but I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone, blood.
I'ma kill someone. I'ma kill someone, blood.
I'ma kill someone, blood.
Next time someone tries to tell me to shut the fuck up,
but I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone, blood.
I'ma kill someone. I'ma kill someone, blood.
Yo, talk to me like you know me, blabber. You don't know my friends, you don't know my ends. You don't know me pissed off, blood, so don't even speak up. Where the fuck do you get off talking to me in that tone? Go home, get that remote control. You can play with the volume all on your own. I'm loud, I'm me.
Fuck you very much.
I ain't got time to remember to keep my mouth shut. So I'm loud as fuck. When I walk in the room, everybody like,
who the fuck are you?
Fuck is that? I'm Big Red, I roll with Miss Pink. And together we the too loud.
Next time someone tries to tell me to shut the fuck up,
but I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone,
blood.
I'ma kill someone. I'ma kill someone, blood.
I'ma kill someone, blood.
Next time someone tries to tell me to shut the fuck up,
but I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone,
blood.
I'ma kill someone, blood.
You can't shut me down like an all-night rave. I talk loud all day cause I don't give a fuck what none of y'all say.
Next time someone tries to tell me to shut the fuck up,
but I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone,
blood. I'ma kill someone. I'ma kill someone, blood.
I'ma kill someone, blood.
Next time someone tries to tell me to shut the fuck up,
but I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone.
I'ma kill someone, blood.
I've got a fever. And the only prescription is more Third Rail Radio. Call in now. 646-929-1480. Now your host, Anticrisis 73 and NCAP Dalek.
Welcome to Third Rail Radio. Call in live 646-929-1480. And now, as you guys might have heard, it's Antigressus 73 and Ancat Dalek.
Dalek, how are you tonight, my brother?
I'm doing really well. So this guy named Bort, he is now on the line.
Yes, I'm on the fucking line right now, goddammit.
I'm so sorry.
Welcome to Third Rail Radio.
You fucking cut me off. How many times is that fucking now, dude? Seriously. All you fucking trying to be rude.
I'm not trying to be rude. We were starting the show and stuff because it's Blog Talk Radio and everything like that.
Ford, how are
so
you
I'm
doing?
Sorry.
I'm doing good tonight, man. I don't even know what the fuck I'm calling in for right now. I'm just trying to be drunk right now, dude.
Right.
And you're fucking being rude to me, dude.
I'm so sorry. Please, with my deepest apologies, I'm so sorry. Can you please forgive me?
I forgive you absolutely 100%.
Thank you.
It requires some multitasking to get the show up and running. I'm sure Dalek meant nothing by it. But you're welcome to be drunk here. This is like an online bar, or a cyber pub, if you will. I think most of us are having libations. Some of us are having morphine, and all we can do is be jealous. But welcome to the show. And I'm not sure what neck of the woods you are in, but if you follow Dalek on Twitter, I posted on his timeline about 8 minutes ago one of the craziest brawls I have ever witnessed in my life. It happened in a place called Cottonwood, Arizona, and it looks like some redneck hillbillies came out of the woods to do their monthly, of the desert, I guess, and do their monthly Walmart.
I'm North Carolina.
Nice.
This is where the most hillbilly motherfuckers in America come from, is from fucking North Carolina, United States of America, because this is where the most military bases are. So this is where the most retarded people in America come from. The most entitled people in America come from. And if you are looking for some stupid videos, then I'm telling you, you should not look any further than North Carolina.
I hear
you'll find the dumbest videos in America coming from North Carolina.
Well, that's because you get much farther south, they just don't know how to make videos.
Oh no, trust me. A lot of my friends are from Florida. Even after coming out of the military, I've seen some exceptionally stupid videos coming from Florida. There's actually a person that I don't really know why I love him so much, but there is actually a person that I love very much that comes from Florida. And he comes up with some stupid ass shit. So Florida, I would say, is the number two dumb state of America, aside from California.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Ohio is moving up there quickly in the ranks, I've noticed.
Ohio is very stupid.
My own anecdotal observation, Ohio's getting up there, man. And so this brawl unfolds kind of like your normal poor white trash, like, you know, trailer park brawl. But then the cops show up and nobody stops fighting. And by the end, there's three dead people. And, I mean, it is crazy, man. These young, like, brothers don't stop fighting even after one of them gets shot. Blam! It is.
Yeah, but I mean, think about it, if you're hanging out in the ghetto, and even if you see somebody get shot, what the fuck are you going to do? Are you going to try to stop it? Are you going to try to stop the shit? Or Are you going to just let it happen and fucking ride it out until you can fucking get to safety?
Well, that's the thing. I think most people would ride it out until they get to safety. Dude, these brothers, they're like, you know, the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top floor. They stand in there and just keep going toe-to-toe. It's nuts. You got to check it out. But welcome to the show, and enjoy your buzz. It was great to hear Glenn back on the view up here tonight prior to this show. Really does warm my heart to have him back. And Dalek, you made a comment that I think is spot on. I mean, I don't think it's cynical these days to just sort of expect politicians or people even who seek political power to be absolutely rotten and corrupt. And I think if more people just expected that, if that was the expectation, not clinging on to the old 30s, 40s, not that those guys were gems, but it was a different time and a different culture. And I think people did, look to politics more for the service.
People look to politics more for the leadership. People need guiding. That's all that politics is. That is absolutely 100% all that politics is an alpha male there to take over so that they don't have to worry about anything. It's that simple.
You mean that's sort of the sheeple, that's sort of the sheeple expectation of politicians. It's just kind of handing it back over.
It goes beyond just sheeple. It goes well beyond that. Because I'm not a sheeple. My goal in life is to get stronger as a person and to take over whatever I find that I can take over. And, I mean, I can't go as far as the government level, but as far as I can take over, I'm going to take over that shit.
What do you take over? What's the object you're taking over?
It's not just sheeple.
No,
go a little bit past that.
You mean it's human nature that there's certain people who need to be led, and there's other people who need to feel the lead.
It's human nature to take the power that is in front of you.
Right. I think it is right. Right now, it hasn't left us in a great space, has it? As far as the state of the world.
I'm sorry if I'm a little too loud.
No, you're good, man.
On my phone.
You're fine.
I'm good.
Yeah. Hell yeah. The callers are what make this show.
Seriously, I'm sorry if I'm a little too loud. I've been drinking, and my phone's sitting in front of me, and I'm talking to you on the phone. I don't want to be too loud.
No, you're not too loud. So you served in the military?
I came from the military. I was in the Marine Corps infantry for 5 years. I came out of the Marine Corps infantry. I realized what I was doing. It took me a little while. I will tell you, it took me about 2 to 3 years to realize that killing everything that I came across was a horrible idea. It took me a while to realize down in my heart that the world is love, legitimately, on like some serious shit. I love everything that I come across in this world. Now, even I come across a fucking tree. I love a fucking tree, dude. I will hug a goddamn tree. I'm a fucking tree hugger now. I went from a fucking demon killer to a tree hugger.
I for your service, 5 years in the infantry, that's quite a stint. So thank you for your service. And
if you can
make that transformation when, like, every power that we are taught is correct and holds truth, like the government, like the military, like your sergeant, like, you know, your commanding officers,
man,
they're telling you what you're doing is good, and yet figure out on your own that this wasn't the way of that.
It's not just
happiness.
Go
ahead.
I've talked to a lot of my friends, a lot of my close brothers, but the part of the war that I was in was the part that had the heaviest combat since the war began. And this is the real shit right here. This is the shit that nobody wants to tell you, the shit that nobody wants you to know. I was in the heaviest combat that occurred, and I can't say 100%, I'd say 95% of my brothers that was over there with me fighting the same fight that I was fighting, that saw the same shit that I saw, they all came out saying the same thing that I'm saying, is that there's no point in war. Every single one of my brothers are saying the same fucking thing. There's no fucking point in war. The enemy are human beings like we are. We're all fucking just living this life the same. I wish I wasn't so drunk right now. I really wish that I wasn't so drunk right now that I could articulate it better. Is that the right word, articulate?
Yep. Yeah, and I think you're doing a pretty good job of it, man. And if you weren't drunk, maybe you wouldn't have the balls to go, you know, to have this conversation. But I appreciate it because you know, my friends who served certainly reflect what you're saying, and you know, other guys who saw combat and were in the shits. Not all of them, but most of them who I've met feel the same way. And you know, it's interesting that if you look, you know, throughout military at men who you know, rose from their days as infantry combat and saw heavy combat in various theaters over the course of history, rose up to continue a career in whatever branch of the military. Those who saw the heaviest combat often became the most resistant to resort to military force to resolve a conflict.
But here is a bright side. The guys that I serve with, the vast, vast, vast majority of us got out of the military because we realized what it is. But there are the absolute highest, the most prestigious Marine stayed in, and they continued on the Marines that taught me, the Marines that taught me how to be a Marine, they stayed in. And they stayed in to teach the people that I should be teaching how to be a Marine, the people that I should have taught how to kill people, but I didn't have the heart to do. They stayed in to teach them what it's like to be a Marine. I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, I think
Here's this last part that I had to say out. The people, the guys that taught me, when I was taught on a vicious level. But I deployed after being taught from those guys. When we came back, those guys taught the guys that I should have been teaching, and they taught them completely different than what I was taught. I'm telling you, the American military is not the same as it was as when post 9/11 military came into action. The American military is different.
Now, did you think this, the change, the 9/11 was the catalyst for the change, and now we're sort of seeing really the full implementation of that whole, you know, apparatus that came with the Patriot Act and DHS.
9/11 was a catalyst for a change, but it wasn't the correct catalyst.
No, definitely not.
It took a little while. It took a little while to realize what really needed to come about as a species. And I think that we understood what it took. But the thing is, we as a species understood what it took to evolve from that, but I don't think that the government understood it.
Well, to evolve from you know, our primordial state, which keeps us, you know, sort of lusting for a perpetual state of conflict, which we find ourselves in, or at least the people who lead us, and then trick the people into thinking that that's the way things should be, you know, to let that go, to let that state of chaos and conflict go, jeopardizes their grip on power. And so, you know, that's why, like, any step away from, you know, war and the commerce and the economy that comes with war, which our economy is, you know, basically...
We need it right now, though. We need that economy right now.
Yeah, I mean, that,
we have come to understand what comes with war. I mean, it's there's no denying what we understand that comes with war. I mean, war brings about obvious prosperity in America. If we know how to handle it. And America, more than any other nation, we know how to handle war.
Go ahead.
But the world does not need war right now. America obviously prospers on war, but there is absolutely no cause for war. There's no cause for war at all right now.
No, and this is the thing. Like, I mean, let's just take World War II, for example, because, I mean, it's the most glaring and the most recent example that really works. When at least for the United States, getting involved in a conflict across the ocean, really was a economic boom. I mean, it out of the depression. And it put you know, millions and millions of people to work and working with their hands.
That's the only thing that would take care of America at this point in time, because that's all America is founded on. But America is founded on war. We can't get away from war.
And now, when there's not a middle class or even like a working class that benefits. You know, the working class, you know, the only form of benefit that they get comes in the form of, you know, an M16, a small salary, and the GI Bill, which sucks now. And there is no reward for the middle class except for anxiety and consternation. The only people who have money, and they make huge, huge money, you know, are General Dynamics, Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, the big military industrial.
Any type of military defense for America is going to strive. Any type of defense for America specifically will strive. Any type of defense for the rest of the world is pointless.
Yeah, it's a valid point, man. Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, again, I mean, I think it's remarkable that you and so many of your brothers that you serve with, you know, kind of came out of the darkness to see the light. Not to sound too corny, but you know, one of the most moving things I've witnessed in the last several years was a speech by Iraq and Afghan veterans who were giving back their Medal of Honor awards. And you know, these guys have all been in heavy shit, man, and seen some horrible stuff that, like you said, none of us need to see anymore. You know, we're not fighting for anything but rich men to get richer. But, you know, we're not fighting for land. We're not fighting for ideals. That's all fucking, you know, that's all been debunked. You know, we fight to line pockets. And not our own, and not our neighbors, and not anybody we know, quite frankly. The fact that there could be a silver lining, and I think that guys, you know, like you, joined the military, and because there is that possibility of camaraderie and brotherhood, and
okay.
Go ahead. You know, but this, a silver lining being, you know, that you can't come out and seeing that love is, you know, at the root of everything, and you know, that violence only begets violence, war only begets war. Dalek, why don't we play a song? We'll go tweet the show out a little bit, and then we'll re-Quinatra, and we'll see what's going on in the Rocky Mountains and in the legalized state of Colorado, and talk about some head news lines or whatever.
All right.
Right on, brother. You stay on the line, man. It's great to have you on the show.
I will.
Dalek may be screening calls, or he may be there.
Why?
He's probably screening calls, so we'll continue. So Aaron Hernandez got convicted, huh? And rightly so. So he'll spend at least the rest of his life in jail. No possibility of parole. I guess the Massachusetts State Attorney's Office still has an open investigation file on him for a double homicide. I guess that one of the witnesses who gave testimony in this witness in this trial, I get there's rumors that he's turning state evidence on this double homicide. Massachusetts does not have the death penalty, but you know, I don't know how much longer they could put him in prison for. But man, talk about somebody who had it all and just let the peer pressure. Quite frankly, it's nothing more than that. Take him over. I don't know much about Aaron Hernandez, where he played college ball, or where he's from. If he's from the Boston area.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're still on.
All right. This whole situation, this is just a whole bunch of bullshit, dude. Because I've been there. I've been in the spotlight. I've been in this actual specific spotlight where domestic violence comes to play. I mean, I really don't want to admit it. I don't want to bring it up. I don't want anyone to think that it's a part of me. But hell, I've come to a new realization in life, and I am willing to freely talk about it. This is a rare opportunity. I mean, I don't want to brag on myself or anything. Because this is the worst possible way that you can brag about anybody, to be honest. But, and trust me, I got a guy that I work with, and he brags day in and day out. And I can't stand listening to it. But I feel that this is a good opportunity for me to get as much as I can out there. But I'm going to go ahead and talk about it real quick. Attacking another person isn't something that you should brag about. Bottom line. And this is something that I hear about a lot in this case, right? He was attacking another person?
Right? Yeah.
Now that I start talking about it, I don't feel like I'm really all that qualified to talk about it. I don't know. Maybe I just want to talk.
No, I hear I do agree that beating up on somebody isn't something one should brag about, but
yes.
I especially think that beating up on a woman isn't something that somebody
should brag about. Yes, exactly.
I'm not that qualified to talk about Aaron Hernandez as a person. I think that the situation as a whole, it's not uncommon, right, where we see.
It's not uncommon, but it's really not something that you want to hear about.
Nah, man, especially when, somebody is a lifestyle.
If you're on your way to work in the morning, say you wake up a couple hours, it's 12:30 where I'm at right now. Say you wake up 4 hours from now, 5 hours from now, and you're hearing about this on the radio. That's not something that you want to hear about on the radio, but it's something that's going to play on the radio anyway because it's the news. And you don't want to hear about it, but you have to hear about it anyway. Just like with Bill Cosby. You don't want to hear about Bill Cosby fucking raping women, but it's what's on the radio. It's what's popular now, and it's the fucking garbage that's going into your ears right now. If you don't have a playlist that's going to fucking block this shit out, then that's the garbage that you're going to hear every fucking morning. And that's what you start your day with. That's what you fucking start your day with.
That's That's a valid point. I mean, I make it a point in my own life. I try to read my news and not watch it because I can get into that news junkie mode. You know, and I mean, it's typical human, just, you know, kind of thriving off the drama and the behavior that they serve up on such a silver platter on the mainstream media. And it's incessant, you know, like, unfortunately now we're going to have to hear about this gang rape that happened during spring break right on.
Oh my God. Hey, you remember the Duke? You remember all that Duke shit that happened when they were coming forth and saying that some Duke lacrosse players had raped some girls?
Yeah, I remember that.
And then it turned out that nobody from Duke had raped anybody.
Yeah. So what is in the UVA?
Absolute garbage. This is what is being fed to you every morning. You have to break apart from the bullshit, and you have to make your own reality. Is the way that I see it. Don't take apart. I mean, there's going to be horrible shit that happens in the world every single day, no matter what part of the world you choose to take a part in. There's always going to be horrible shit that happens. Just you can make your own reality if. Some horrible shit just so happens to take a part of your daily life. Break apart from it. Make your own reality. Make that shit happy. Just make the world a happy place to live in. You know? And
I think that's
if you keep projecting that part of your life onto the world, eventually the world's going to pick up on that part of your life. And no matter how small you are, you will have an influence over the world no matter what. I mean, even if the world is fucking shitty as hell, if you can just put a little bit of happiness on the world, it'll make a difference. I mean, I sound like a hippie right now, I know. But God damn it, I love being a hippie, and I love making the world smile, and I love just being fucking happy, dude. And I want to share that with the rest of the world. Just fucking be happy, man.
Exactly.
If you've served in combat, I think you've earned the right to now be a hippie because you see both sides.
My entire family, the entire male side of my family are all infantry Marines in the Marine Corps. I mean, that's redundant, I know, to say that they were Marines in the Marine Corps, but the entire male side of my family are Marines. And we all served in the Marine Corps, every bit of us. And we are all hippies, and it's where I got my name from. My real name, my actual real name is Bart. My sister's actual real name is Candy, and it just goes on and on like that. Our family has some fucking hippie ass fucking names.
I love it, well, man. Hey, Dalek, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back around over here. I was kind of looking up a recent article, like I was saying, over on Glenn Show. Maybe you guys can actually also look at it and see how it is. So it's Sheriff launches investigation after Chief Voice and Cop Lock breaks traffic story stop. So basically what happened is that this man named Lucas Jewell got stopped because he basically flipped off a armored vehicle or basically a tank. You know, this happened, and there are many court cases where it's okay to flip off like a tank or police officer because it is free speech. But I guess they stopped him because he was having some sort of sexual indication in the car.
Did you say there was a tank involved?
Yeah, or an armored vehicle. An armored vehicle.
Jesus. It was out just like roaming the streets doing traffic stops, like pulling people over for having a tip spill out.
Yeah, exactly. It's completely utterly insane. This guy, he flipped off the tank, and then he got pulled over, and then basically what happened? It's so insane. I'm not gonna lie.
It's crazy.
It is.
It was like one of those bear cats.
Yeah, it's the bear cats, and I'll definitely give out the link to the story in the chat, so then you can see it. But I'm gonna read this real quick. Let me copy and paste this real quick. God damn it! Why is it always happening to me? It's always with my bad luck. All right, there we go. Okay, so here it is. Okay. It took less than 48 hours that we broke a story regarding an armored vehicle for a routine traffic stop in Gainesville, Florida. For the officer at Aluche County Sheriff to go in damage control, mildly attempting to assure the public that they are not, in fact, the jackboot military-style tyrants. They were shown the video that quickly went viral across social media. In a statement made by the Facebook pages earlier today, the Aluche County Sheriff's Department announced the internal investigation was launched into the Lanco Bearcat armored vehicle conduct routine traffic stop. The traffic stop involved a young man from Gainesville, Florida, named Lucas Jewell, who showed up deputies riding from an armored vehicle, giving the finger, a gesture generally understood by a majority of Americans to be an expression of constitutionally protected free speech. The statement released by the PR department reads, "On Monday morning, April 13th, the Aluche County Sheriff's Department were made aware of the video circulating on social media. The video showed the driver that had been pulled over by members of a SWAT team who were driving by armored vehicles. These deputies were returned to the station of the working SWAT-related detail, the University of Florida spring football game." So I wonder how the SWAT kind of meeting and plus a football game really kind of coincides, but that's aside from the point. We fully recognize the serious allegations brought forth the driver and many others show up and posted their feelings on Facebook. The Sheriff Daniel has personally contacted the driver to assure him that a complete investigation will occur. The police, the Office of the Professional Standards have opened an internal investigation into this incident, specifically looking over the violations of any directives or laws. I can assure you that we are quite aware of the concerns, not only to the driver, but all of Aluche County residents. As the investigation runs its course, I ask you to be patient and refrain from making random posts. There will be a thorough investigation, and the facts will lead us to the proper conclusion. The entire encounter was recorded by Lucas Jewell using a cell phone capturing a surreal encounter during which the cops accused him of violating traffic laws by showing them the middle finger and also receiving fellatio from his girlfriend while driving, an accusing which was not proven sustained. At one point, Mr. Jewell was even ordered to not record the police officers because his phone could be a firearm, or because there are firearms that are made devices like that.
Because the phone could be a firearm. Are you serious?
Yeah.
My man was getting head while driving.
I guess so. I guess allegedly he was getting fellatio.
He was getting fellatio and sitting up like a bar.
In a statement made by the journalist, the public relations officer stated, "We fully recognize the serious allegations brought forth by the driver and many others who have posted their feelings on Facebook. Sheriff Seti Donnell has personally contacted the driver and assured him that the complete investigation will occur. There will be a thorough investigation and the facts will lead us to a proper conclusion." The officer did not clarify who is carrying out the investigation and what the scope of the investigation is. However, a full copy of the incident report files by the cops who were performed by the traffic stop were available and can be read here, and this is where the SWAT incident report is, and I'll definitely give you guys the lowdown and or the link in the chat.
So was the SWAT report written like on a moving violation ticket form?
Excuse me.
So basically, they did stop the individual, and basically what happened is that, you know, he probably got detained and probably got a ticket. I don't know yet, but
Who got a ticket?
Mr. Jewell, this individual, he is actually an activist.
The guy who was getting the head while flipping off tanks.
Allegedly.
The person who allegedly has a possible ticket right now is locked up?
Well, not really. I just guess he just got a ticket.
There's a possibility that he's locked up right now.
Maybe so. I don't know yet. But,
I was in this exact same predicament in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it's not a fun ordeal. The guy who is locked up right now, he's locked up because of words, basically, correct? Which is words. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're correct.
Yeah, it's just words.
I mean, that's even a gesture, right?
Someone said words. Words. Just basically words. And to be an American in the United States of America, you have the freedom to say whatever words you want to say, correct?
Well,
that's what they tell us in school, right? It doesn't really seem that way all that often.
They don't even tell you this much, but I will go beyond what American freedoms are, and I will say that Americans can say anything that Americans want to say up to the point of threatening the life of the United States president. So if there is another American that is in jail right now because of words...
Well, I guess he got a ticket from when from reading this. I guess he got a ticket.
At this point, right now, the only words that an American is allowed to be imprisoned for is for threatening the life of the United States president. So if there is a American in the United States judicial system right now that is locked up for anything other than threatening the life of the United States president, it is 100% illegal, and that individual should be released from prison right now.
I'm with you. And in fact, they haven't even been upholding that presidential assassination law since Barack Obama's been president. Dalek and I have a friend who quite frequently makes blatant threats on the president's life, and I think I haven't seen him in a minute, but I think he's still free.
Yes, he can absolutely threaten the president of the United States of America's life and not be locked up, because 9 times out of 10, they don't take it as a real threat. They can lock up anybody that they want that just so happens to have such a comment directed in any form of way to them, so they can... It's just a way for them to lock up people that they want to lock up.
Well, on the show right before this, our friend and colleague, Canadian Glenn on The View up here, covered a story about a gentleman who had made a few comments on Twitter that, I mean, that were clearly rhetorical and, I mean, almost absurd in nature, and yet he got a visit from their version of the Secret Service. And man, it's crazy. Canada has really like hit the accelerator on the oppression of its citizens.
I'm guessing you have never been locked up before.
Me?
Yeah.
I've been locked up a couple times.
Maybe.
Yeah, well, never longest I've ever been locked up was from a Friday night to a Monday morning. But it was in Miami Dade.
Never more than a week, man.
Miami Dade was gnarly, man. And it was just one of those rough timings where you know, Friday night you don't see the judge till Monday. But
the judge can say that's some bullshit. I don't like what I'm seeing.
Oh,
and to stop for a legitimate person, a legitimate human being, to see the abuse and to stop the abuse. But that doesn't mean that it's gonna. There's abusers everywhere that keep coming across. But on a typical day, if you're going to court and you're seeing the judge, on a typical day, the judge is going to see the abuse of power, and the judge is going to put stop to it. Because really, in all honesty, as much as I hate to fucking admit, we live a long time, these people, and these people have common sense, just as we do. Now, I really don't want to admit it, but it's absolutely true.
I hear you. Dalek just mentioned Adam Kokesh in the chat room, and speaking of impinging upon free speech, there was something said about his book, Freedom, which I read and I actually I liked it, and that it's a threat to national security or something along those lines.
So basically what happened is that it was mainly a threat to basically the institution within, like, the prison, and it might rile up some prisoners, and that's why he wouldn't have given any of the books.
Is that a threat?
Okay, gotcha. Or, so he's like a lecturer at a prison or something, and
no, he wanted to give the books, but he couldn't.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow. Well, that I would say that's a testament to the book. That's good. That's good. Actually, good press. Because it is. I mean, it certainly is. There is some rabble rousing in there, and I think it's. I think it's a testimony to the efficacy of the tone of the book.
Yeah.
So good for Adam if they banned it in prison. Fucking Johnny Cash, baby. But Dalek, I've got to run to the fridge. You want to spin a tune, and then we'll come back. Brother, you stay on the line if you've got time. And Dalek, you pick a song, and we will be right back.
Alrighty then. So we're gonna do that right now. And we're going to listen to, might as well, we're going to listen to a little bit of Seether on Third Rail Radio. Welcome back to Third Rail Radio. About that song, you know, I think that it really does bring up to a good sentiment that we need just need to rise above from what we've actually gone into our own bindings, and hopefully we're going to do that with you guys. So welcome back to Third Rail Radio. Call in live and take control of the tracks at 646-929-1480. And now your host, Antichrist73 and Ancap Dalek.
Ah, I love that sentiment. Dalek, you're on fire tonight. Your audio is clear as a bell, and you sound terrific. Yeah, I agree. I like that tune, man. I'm not sure if I've heard it before. I always love hearing new stuff. It's another interesting article that I came across, but I don't think. It surprised any of us, and the article presented like it was a big revelation. But all the new generation of airplanes, of airliners, are extremely susceptible to being hacked. They're all IP configured, I can't remember who broke the story. It might have been in the New York Times. Not that it was much of a break, the story. Anything that connected to communication system, let alone an IP system, is vulnerable to being hacked. But I find the timing of the story interesting just because, there's still questions, obviously huge questions about what happened with the 70s, but also the German wing. I did get a little far away from the mic. But also with the German wings, I mean, that seemed like a suicide. But, even harking back to 9/11, if those planes were packed or were, loaded with a remote receiver or something like that. But obviously we know cars can be hacked. Again, anything that's connected to a communication device, and then you on top of that you hook it into to the network and Wi-Fi, then it's extremely vulnerable. That's not really big news.
It's also one more interesting part that there were a lot of computers within kind of vehicles for a long time, since like around like 85 and over. I mean, especially with that, and also comes around to a higher possibility, especially with Michael Hastings and what it could do to other people. And it's a really sad thing, that we have this technology that could be more dangerous for us and especially for other people. And it's just one way to silence us.
Yeah, I mean, like with all incredible tools, they usually have like a
a certain dichotomy to them of positive and negative, and the more powerful the positive attribute, usually the more powerful the negative. And the internet certainly seems to follow that kind of logical pattern. You know, from everything, like, I mean, sometimes now, I will be on the internet for, 10 minutes or so and just say, my God, this really is just one big advertisement, with a little bit of functionality and content, in it. So it can be negative in that way. And then all the connectivity, we see it in the invasion of privacy, to giving up control of our personal medical information, and even the tools we use, and the resources we use. Smart meters are coming into play quickly and in a big way out in California with this drought, because it's the way they're finding people, the way they're figuring out who's taking more than a 5-minute shower or whatever are rules that they've implemented for the individual, through these smart meters. So yeah, there is a big negative to it, man. Like, on my day to day life, I try to use the internet and the computer, as little as essentially a TV with a keyboard as possible, and more as a tool for learning or creating something. I find that I enjoy it much more when I use it like that. As far as just day to day enjoyment and not feeling like I'm rotting my brain and just looking at a different TV in a different format.
Yeah, but definitely.
I think that's generational too. Like Dalek and you can speak to this better than I can, but because because of the functionality of the internet, like when you arrived on the scene, it's probably never seemed like a TV with a keyboard to you.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, when I, kind of got into this whole place, it was something where, you're kind of half correct and you're kind of not really. I mean, it was something that kind of took the day off when I was over in school and, I just wanted to take a quick break and I just had to pass the time with it, so that's what I did. And when I got into Twitter, when I kind of finally woke up, I just went up here and I learned a lot of things that I'm still learning even today,
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's like a big thing that you and I have had in common all along is kind of, we're not big tech guys. Obviously, you're a lot younger than I am and have a few more years to learn, but we also both really enjoy the learning aspect of it, and that's a cool thing to share. I wanted to ask you about something specific, because we both we talk about education, and just your thoughts on. In Atlanta, there was the sentencing of those 12 teachers and school administrators who were essentially bussed advocate for changing student grades to receive bonuses from the Common Core government program for teacher performance. And three of them were sentenced to 20 years. They'll serve seven and then do 13 on probation. I don't know. Did you follow that story at all?
Not really. Not really so far, but it's kind of interesting from what you said about the Common Core.
Yeah, I think what I find interesting about the story is that if you set up an incentive program based on performance, which is based on 40 or more other people's performance, and you have so little control over it, and it's a significant bonus relative to your income. I think that's too tempting.
So we also have Vert on the line.
Vert, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you tonight?
Oh, I'm having fun. Another fucking tax day. So I'm pretty pissed off just because it's fucking tax day. But,
fuck taxes.
I couldn't resist what you guys were talking about with the incentives. Like, if there's an incentive that's going to boost your pay, you're going to find people that are going to cheat, just like fucking VA, just like Common Core. Like, people are going to lie and take fucking two books, just like the fucking mob. Like, they got one set of books that's real and one set of books that gets them more money.
I agree. And I mean, not to like stereotype, but if you looked at the defendants in the trial, most of them were older teachers, who probably, and I, I'm totally speculating, but I mean, probably feel like they're at the end of their career. They're getting, it takes a lot of energy to be a teacher, you put that incentive with being able to manipulate, the variables that determine whether you're rewarded the incentive or not. That's a lot of temptation to resist. And I'm not justifying the fact that teachers did it by any means, but I think it's a little short-sighted by the apparatus itself. There were problems with this in Washington, D.C., and Michelle Rhee. I think everywhere that this incentive program was introduced, there were issues with it. What about the sentence? Like, 20 years for basically what amounts to a financial crime. Now, of course, you could make the argument that these teachers have jeopardized the future of the students, that they cheated out of an education, changing their grades. Now, I haven't individually tested these youngsters to see how far behind they are in their arithmetic and reading, but that seems like at least in the court of law, that would be speculative. It's a financial crime. They're teachers. 20 years seems a little stiff.
They tried to charge me with 15 years for being a moderator of a fucking online chat. So, I know they go stiff because if they don't go big, then they can't negotiate when they know they're wrong. So.
Right. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't think about that. My wife is a principal of a small private school. It's a holistic school, and I'm quite proud of it. It's a small leg of the revolution, and students are incredible, and the kids who have graduated from there and gone on to bigger and bigger things, for the most part, all doing quite well. Education is a part of it in my household, and I love the rebranding of Common Core, whatever the f*** is about. I forget exactly what the colloquialism is for it now. I'll look it up. But essentially, the same thing rebranded. So Bert, what's going on in your neck of the woods in Colorado?
Looks like it's gonna snow.
Yeah, what? A lot of snow. Just too much goddamn snow. What happened, son?
It was like 80 degrees yesterday, and now, we're talking snow for the next 3 days. So,
whoa.
I don't know. We're living Colorado style.
I think we got cold. We're getting chilly tonight, but man, it's been beautiful. I've been doing my spring cleaning, and we get quite a bit of earth movement in the spring in what we call mud season, and Canadian Glen may remember last spring I had one of my foundations buckled about an inch and a half, and a bunch of my neighbors came up and we put bolted I-beams, torque spring-loaded I-beams, 15 of them around the perimeter of the foundation. But I have a little, the entrance to my basement, actually a separate little foundation stairwell. And when the hill slid during the fall this year, it moved the south facing wall, moved it in about 6 inches. So I took down this entrance way, and I was just about finished that today, and I was up on the ladder, and I had all the siding and the shingles and everything down below the ladder, and I climbed down the ladder, stepped off, and wouldn't you know, I stepped right on a 5-inch nail.
I saw that. Yeah.
Oh, man. I yanked it out with some pliers and got some Neosporin in there.
Punctures are the worst. I fucking hate punctures.
Oh, yeah, man. It's smarted.
Get a tetanus shot.
Oh, God, Glenn, don't say that. I knew you were going to say that.
Well, you should, man. You should. That's all there is to it.
I haven't been to the doctor in like 20 years. Chance of me getting tetanus is probably 95%. I mean...
Well, it's a shitty way to die.
Yeah, right? Like lockjaw, like all sorts of horrible thing. Oh, you're going to get me all worried. I'll be heading to the emergency room by like 3 a.m.
All right, full answer.
Well, we have to get a tetanus booster every 10 years here anyway. That's pretty much law.
So do we. I think we're supposed to.
Yeah.
And that's what a great segue into both in Canada and in the United States. they are not joking around about these forced vaccination laws. Talking about in Canada, I think in Quebec, talking about jailing parents if they don't have if they don't get their children vaccinated, and in the United States, even in Vermont right now, in a lot of states on the books is legislation proposed legislation that would prohibit your child from attending school, public school, if they weren't vaccinated. You know, that, again, like that's an argument that has a lot of legitimate claims, and then a lot of you know, I had where I was my kid vaccinated, but I guess you know, if the science is in, and that's what's so hard to tell these days, is if the science is in, or you're just hearing gobbledygook. But if the science is in that not having your child vaccinated puts other children at risk, then I guess it makes sense that they can't be in public places. Any thoughts on that, though? Like, you know, hitting kids, you know, hitting parents in the pocketbook.
Well, the whole thing has changed. I mean, when I was a kid, there were chicken pox parties. There were measles parties. You know, get your kid sick, he's fucked for 3 days, that's it, it's done.
Yeah.
It's over, you know. I mean, all the vaccinations I got from when I was an infant through school, everybody got them. That's all there is to it. It wasn't an issue. It's just because it made fucking sense. Now, if there were the odd person for some religious reason they couldn't get them, it was no big deal because it was, you know, less than 1%. But some of these things now that are happening with vaccines that have been around for decades, now either they're not working or they have side effects or there's something else wrong with them. Well, then what's changed? It's how it's made. It's what's in it. So, I mean, Big Pharma, they're that fucking greedy. You know, they're going to cheat on things like vaccine.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
you know, this is the thing. Yeah, so I mean, of course they want compulsory vaccinations.
Because it's more money for them.
Well, yeah, it's more product, of course. But there's so many.
Well, there's so many
people.
You guys are both old bags. Like, how many vaccines did you have, Glenn?
Oh shit, a whole list. I mean, when I was a kid here, there were immunizations. That,
you got like 20?
Yeah, I'd say probably that many.
All right. Right now in the U.S., it's over 83.
83?
Yeah.
And I cannot take
over
any vaccines. They get me sick as fuck.
Ugh,
I can't even do it.
You're born, you get 83 vaccines.
That's nothing. That's for money.
You think one of those is going to cause some problems? I mean, fuck, that's just insane. I mean, I can understand, like, fucking the measles. Obviously, we pretty much eliminated that in this fucking atmosphere.
No,
it's coming back.
Well, yeah, thanks to immigrants, but,
I think the difference there.
Changed just like everything else. Everything fucking evolves. If you got something that beats it, it's going to try to beat whatever you have that beats it.
You bring up a good point, though, because I think when Glenn and I were growing up, I don't think we received 83 vaccines. I mean, I lived overseas.
I was born in 84, and I think I had like 16.
So, I mean, and I don't have kids, so I didn't know that. I knew there were a lot, and I knew that one of the arguments kind of condemning mothers and fathers who, you know, are resistant to vaccines but don't really have a well-formulated argument for why is because it's emotion-based, and like watching their kids go through all these vaccines, which are shots, right?
Yeah, no, I hated shots. I had a reason for hating shots for the, I don't know, I know I don't remember those years, but I had a fear of shots because, yeah, I always, every time I went to the doctor, he stuck a needle in me. It fucked up, and now we're sticking it in like fucking 18 times a visit, and yeah, no, that's not cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, I imagine watching your little tiny baby go through that, you know, with the needles like the size of their arm. And Glenn raises a great point, too, you know, I mean, and like, okay, there's 83 of these vaccines. Think about the money being made when one company owns, you know, the patent on five of those 83 vaccines, and another company owns seven on those of those vaccines. Like, that's...
Yeah.
And every kid is getting crazy money. So, and also, so the volume that these pharmaceutical of vaccine, the volume that they have produced has gotten so great that yes, the formulas have changed, right? So they were using mercury as a preservative, which I think now because of the uproar, whether scientifically based or not, a lot of companies have changed. You know, just to make the vaccine viable through the transportation process, the administration process, et cetera, in that volume, definitely they've had to change the formula and add, you know, complex preservatives. You know, vaccines are alive, they're perishable, so, yeah, I think that's a good point.
Well, I think the obvious difference between the difference in the number of so-called required vaccinations between the U.S. and Canada is because Canada has a public health system, and the government basically tells the supplier what they're going to pay for it, and that's that.
Right.
The U.S. is a completely different animal. It's a fucking free-for-all.
We have a government health system now, and I just paid like $380 because I didn't fucking buy into it.
So Bardo. We got Bardo on the line.
But still, Vert, the thing is, Vert, is that money's going to contractors, though. It's not going to a part of the government.
Oh, no, I... Trust me, that's one of the reasons I don't want to fucking pay it. I'm not going to pay for health care when I...
That's the penalty you got? You have to pay?
Whoa.
Sorry, what was that?
Did you hear that?
Is that the penalty you have to pay because you didn't enroll?
Yeah, state and federal, because I said I would rather pay my mortgage over paying $400 a month for health insurance. Yeah.
And so they fined you $384?
Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, no, because I'm a perfectly healthy fucking 30-year-old. I go to the doctor maybe once a year, and I pay $90. Flat out, no insurance, to get some gout med, maybe. And that's it. I'm not going to pay $400 a month to cover what I pay $90 a year.
I'm clearly on the verge of tendinitis, and I'm not going to the doctor. I'm anti-doctor. That's totally a cowardly thing. I get like white jacket anxiety. I don't like the doctor.
No, I go to a small clinic in the fucking King Supers. I'm like, hey, I got gout in my wrist. Can I have some fucking indomethacin, please? And they're like, all right, yeah, that looks legit. And obviously it's swollen. Here, pay us $90, and here you go, and that's me for the year. But if the government wants me to pay, yeah, well, I drink a lot, and yeah, I don't eat so well. But
I have my foot sometimes, man. That shit hurts like a motherfucker.
Yeah, it's fucking insane. They compare to that shit with fucking pregnancy.
Well, I mean, I have a daughter, and I have a cat, and I have a guy who likes to eat a lot of pork, and the guy who likes to eat a lot of pork, he travels to Texas pretty often, and he goes down there, and he hunts some hog, and for the most part, he doesn't have to pay anything into his pork addiction. He just goes down there and he hunts his pork and he comes back up with a boar and it's all good. But, you know, pig and boar, they're still fairly intelligent creatures and for the most part, you pay the same whether or not you hunt a boar or not. You typically end up paying the same amount in taxes if you're eating it. I mean, whether you caught it or you bought it.
I like the idea of raw boar. And I've cooked them with wild boar, and I've eaten it, and I like it. But I like my swine. I like my barnyard swine. I find the boar is a little stringent, you know. But
yeah.
I bet a fun animal to hunt. Not that I'm a big hunter, but boy, they'll charge at you.
Mm-hmm. It's just a little, they're a little hard to kill, I understand that. And their intelligence level is a little bit too high to be killing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
In the first place.
I'm telling you right now, I couldn't kill any. I could kill a human faster than I could kill a animal.
Yeah, boar, they're just too smart. They shouldn't be getting killed to begin with.
Now, what's up with, like, that Hogzilla? Like, that's part boar, part, like, barnyard, you know, pig? You ever hear?
Yeah, it's just a boar that lived a long life.
Yeah,
basically.
It's like a pro pig, right? Like, got out
yeah.
of and made it a boar.
It's a boar that shouldn't be killed. Pretty much.
Yeah. I'm
I'm sorry if I'm boring you.
No, it's okay. I'm really tired. It's been a long day.
Were you working
yes, exactly? I know. It's been a long day for me, too. I really don't want to bore you.
No,
like
you're
you.
Not boring me. I'm actually pretty engaged.
I want to keep whatever's going.
Hmm?
Were you working the jackhammer today?
Not really. But
yeah,
a long day.
I worked the fucking jackhammer.
You work in construction?
I can.
Right on.
But typically I work renovation.
What's that?
I work renovation though. I do, I guess I do work construction.
Yeah, right on. Contracting, construction. I like that work. My sister has a contract company in D.C., and sometimes I go down there and help her. I got to tell you, I'm not very good at it. I'm good at demo, though. You give me a crowbar and a sledgehammer, I can fuck some shit up. But,
I'm really good at demo too because I can make some money on demo.
Yeah, exactly. You can do it fast.
Yeah.
I'm not a great painter. Especially trim. That's not my strong suit.
Yeah, I can tear some shit down, and then I can take the supplies or the whatever was used to build whatever I just destroyed. I can take that and make money on it.
You know, it's funny you said that, because I was taking down this entranceway to my basement. I took it apart. I haven't quite finished, but I'm taking it apart really carefully so I can reuse the 2x4s. The Tyvek is no good, and the seal wrap is no good, but the 2x4s in there are good, and I'm stacking them up, and I'll definitely reuse them. And then I was, you know, thinking, I was like, now that would be cool, you know, to build houses from recycled houses.
Because yeah, just actually, as a matter of fact, today, because I work in this industry, so I see a lot of things come and go. I saw an opportunity to build a very nice computer chair, a very nice computer desk, and I mean, this is some very sturdy stuff that I came across.
Yeah.
I'm pretty drunk right now. I'm sorry.
That's all right, man. You're feeling
I'm staring on.
But it's all good. You know, if you took a sentient human being over the age of 7, and you sat him, I don't know, let's say, because it's more interesting than a room, like in a cave.
In a cave?
Yeah, in a cave or a room, you know, like an observation room or something like that, and had certain things, like props or whatever around, that looked like they could fit together into a tool, or a contraption or a chair or something suppose
you compare it to the first time that you trip.
I could compare it to the first time that, well, I mean, this is, yeah, this is kind of the point, right? So if they're observing these people in a room and they put certain things in the room, within a short given amount of time, these 99% of the people will start to try to put these props or these objects together into a tool. One of our first human beings is to try to fit things together to make into tools.
Okay, a tool.
Makes us above the apes. And as far as a first trip, I can certainly see some relevancy. How would you connect that to your first trip? I mean,
I'm actually struggling to comprehend what's going on right now because I'm very tired.
Right on.
I understand that you're talking about stuff going on with your first trip. Whether I am able to understand what you're talking about or not, I'm guessing you're talking about something that could relate to work while I'm sitting here about my first trip. I'm just kind of like, honestly, 100%, I'm like mid days. So what I'm looking at right now is like a partial wall in my living room. So I'm looking at a partial wall in my living room. It's making me think about work. So my real realization when I'm like coming to is about work. And I know that has absolutely nothing to do with anything that you're dealing with. But on a civilian level, it's basically all that I think about. So I'm sitting here laying down on my couch, and I'm thinking about work. Well, I got this big fucking block sitting here in my living room that's basically coming from my kitchen, and it's all that I really think about, and it's pretty much my life is work. Work is my life, to be honest with you. So I guess the blog represents work because there's nothing else in my life that really matters, and the only variable in my life